Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
It started with two women. And, well, today, it's still two women, but not just any women. It's Laurie and Lynn.
Who can turn the world on with a smile?
Laurie and Lynn, giving Northeast Pennsylvania local talk to start your weekend right.
Suddenly make it all seem worthwhile.
And now, celebrating their 10th year on the air on WILK News Radio. Here's Laurie and Lynn.
Love is all, no need to waste it. You can have a town, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
What's shaking?
Hey, I don't know. Lots, I guess.
Why?
I've just had an incredibly crazy busy week. And one of those weeks where I have to stop and think, what day is it today? And who am I? And where am I supposed to be?
Well.
So I think this is Thursday as we're recording this. And I think that I am in... Pittston Township.
Yeah, I guess I can confirm that's where you are.
That's good.
And that, yes,
all
in
right.
fact, it is Thursday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, other than that, I'm here. I'm officially present and here.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's going on in your world?
Well, just, you know, much of the same, although this week is nowhere near what last week's craziness was, but busy, lots going on. Last night we were at the Radisson. Well, actually... twice yesterday I was at the Radisson.
You were there for the breakfast?
Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, which starts at the ripe hour of 8 a.m. anyway, I was there, and it was wonderful. Sondra Myers was the keynote speaker. It was on the arts, about the arts, and she is unbelievable in her words, her sentiment, her ability to communicate, to speak so extemporaneous. It's just unbelievable.
Yep.
And talking about being her mother-in-law at the time, Maury Myers' mom, was 105 and a half years old when
Whoa.
She passed away. I mean, unbelievable. And she said, and completely... you know, sound of mind, and just so afterwards I went up to him and I said, well, looks like you get your genes from that woman, man, oh man, because he's unbelievable as well.
Exactly.
And he's one of my favorite guys, and she was incredible. So Beth Birkhauser introduced her, which was very nice. There was a tribute, a dedication to Mayor Judge James Walsh, Andy Jarbola, who was his law clerk, and then Gene Peters, ex-mayor, one of the ex-mayors of Scranton, was there, or former, I should say. He spoke a little bit about the judge, both West Siders. And just it was packed, and I cannot. This has to be said, and I probably say it every year, but I have to. Scranton Night Rhythms, the choral group from Scranton High School, under the direction of Lisa Conalog, is they are incredible. These kids, what they do, how they do it, the poise, the professional way, their voices are incredible, which she does every year with groups of kids year after year after year that keep coming in with the talent. It's unbelievable. They get a standing O every year. Mary Jean said, why do you have it looks like you have white near your eye? And I said, well, that's probably the my powder. And she said, from what? I said, well, because I was crying. She said, why were you crying? I said, I was listening to the kids sing. And she said, and that made you cry? I said, yes, because I remember when I was in choir at West Scranton High School, I was president of our choir. because we had a choral group as well. And I loved to sing. I just always was doing it. And so it brings you back a little bit, but really it's the power of their voices that I think, wow, these kids are unbelievable. And again, nurturing the arts, which is what I'm all about. So I just think it was great. So it was the 57th annual, and it was wonderful. Wayne did a great job. Mm-hmm. Great job.
That would be the mayor.
Yep. He and Nancy were there, as they would be, and it was beautiful. So we had a great morning. And then last night was the Mighty Oak Award from the old EOTC, now Outreach, and the Gilmartin family and Merkel McGrail and Quinn, MMQ, were the second recipients of that. So the Gilmartin family in general, and then Stephanie Tulaney accepted from MMQ. And I know she's just a doll. She's just like her mother and father, both Westsiders. Tommy Tulaney, big football player. Her mother, Margie, was Miss Invader. And
they're Armstrong, aren't they?
No. Tulaney.
Oh, different Tulaney.
Tulaney's grew up on Orm Street, but he's cousins to them.
Oh, okay.
So Tommy was great. I think he was the quarterback. Great banker. He's a banker. He's a phenomenal guy. I think he's mm-hmm. with Peoples. He was with FNCB, and now he's with Peoples. And Margie, who's a beautiful woman, the Lavin family, gorgeous gals. And their brother Donnie, who I also love, graduated with me. But so Stephanie is just a delight, and it was just so nice to see both really, really deserving family and organization. So it was a nice event, but back at the Radisson again, we went yesterday. So started our day there and ended it.
Well, did you go to the event there? Radisson, I'm sorry, at the Scranton Cultural Center for Biden?
No, I did not go.
Did you miss that one?
Now, here's what I want you. Why would I go when I've already had the pleasure of sitting in front of the Vice President of the United States at my son's graduation from Penn, because his granddaughter, remember all that?
Yes, but I don't know that he does. So
no,
I'm just kind of thinking.
I don't care if he does. I don't have to go see him again. That was the best we could have, just right there.
All right.
Why would I have to go fight the crowd?
Well, I just thought maybe you wanted to hear what he had to say.
Mm-mm. I mean, I love him, but I didn't have to go. I'll read it in the paper where I get my information.
Okay.
No, if it was something, you know, a little more private, maybe I would have, but no, I didn't care. And Peterson met him. Diane Baldy met him. Diane made her day. She loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it. Deb met him, mm-hmm. and she was delighted. She said he's a doll, and all of the people involved with him are wonderful. Deb didn't even say, do you want to come in with me and meet me? She didn't even ask me because she knew that I would say,
hello. Oh, my goodness.
No, I don't need to do that.
Wow.
Now, I were over at Hank's Hoagies, and he was there.
Yeah.
Not that I could eat the hoagies, but I would, you know, and he walked in, which he did, and he was cruising around Green Ridge,
yes.
but I wasn't around. So.
Well.
But I'm thrilled he was here. I love him, love him. Oh, my God, I love him. So when anyone asked me, Lynn, because several people did, I just pop up the picture. You see this picture? That's all I know.
Oh, okay.
So it was good.
That's good enough.
So, no, I didn't see him.
So are you following the, even though neither of us can vote in the election, are you following the mayor's special election candidates?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know them.
Mm-hmm. You know Paige, right?
Well, I really didn't know Paige well. I just met her. I met her once, but I've never had a conversation with her. And yesterday at the mayor's prayer breakfast, I spoke to her. We did not talk about politics at all. But of course, she's having a baby too, which is wonderful. She's doing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's due in December, and
wow.
she looks wonderful.
Well, yay for her.
And so I did speak to her about a bunch of things, not political. And of course, I know Kyle. So, and I don't know Chris Cullen. I've never met him. He was there. Of course, they all were there. And Charlie Spano was there. So we shook hands. I said, congratulations, good luck. But I didn't talk to any of them about that, about political stuff at all.
Oh, okay.
Just all I said to Kyle is, now, Kyle, you know that if you win, I will have your cell phone tucked right into my, in case I need anything. And he said, yes. Because he's the only person I would say that to.
All right, folks, you heard it here first.
Because you have to have, like, really, you have to have, what's my line on my commercial? You have to have everyone's phone number. But it's just, I think it's a, you know, it's a four-way, you know.
That's all? Just
well,
four?
I think they're the bunch. Only four, the three that, or the four that would be in any kind of position.
Yeah.
Well, but I don't know. I don't know much because I don't, I mean, I'm always concerned, yes, about Scranton because, you know, we grew up, we were born and raised, but yeah. I'm where Scranton goes, so goes everyone else. So you have to be concerned about that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Okay. You never know what will happen.
I know. God
Why,
forbid.
Do you have any vibe on it?
None. I didn't know that about Paige. And so, but I've met her before and talked to her at length about what she wants to do. And so I was very happy to see that she put herself in the mix. I don't know if this is probably the best time in her life to be doing that.
Well.
Especially if she's just going to have a baby. But, you know, Paige is somebody who's done some things that a lot of people probably would never do in their lifetime. I mean, getting an MBA from Harvard is enough to stay right there and say, well, okay, we have to stand up and listen to that one. But I just think that the other people represent a lot of the old school people, the traditional party politics type stuff. And what I'm inspired by is the fact that there are so many people running who are independent, who are not fixed into the system. And the fact that they think they should do it and can do it and might win, I think is very encouraging.
Well, you have to remember the reason two of them are running as independents is because they were not chosen from the Democratic Party to run. And therefore, because they weren't, they switched their party and they are now running as an independent because they did not get selected by the Democratic Party for the
or
nomination.
Or the Republican Party.
Cullen got that.
Yeah.
So they chose to run in a different fashion, but which is your right, you know?
Yeah, I still think that's an interesting mix because it traditionally has been a joke in our area to run as an
independently. Right,
you
I
know,
think this,
like, come on.
Yeah, this is a little bit,
serious.
This is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'll be very happy to see the outcome. I think it's just a good thing.
Yeah, I say this to anyone. If you're willing to put your name in and jump into the arena, whatever it is, whether it's politics or anything else, and put yourself to be in those positions, good for you. That old Teddy Roosevelt line, the man in the arena, in this case, the woman or the man in the arena, and people look at you and you're in the spotlight and you're you know, open to criticism and all those things. And you have to, you know, good for that, because that's part of the reason why so many people, including mostly women, don't run for political offices because of the stuff and all this, everything. Scranton Times prints something and then you can go online anonymously and trash whatever it is, the person, people who just do that. And you have to be open for that, because people are bullies. A lot of people are, in the way they want to go after you, and they hide behind a fake name because they're cowards to put their name on things. And that drives me crazy. And
me
for
too.
The purpose of fight, just for the fight of it. Why? Like, who even takes the time to respond negatively to something like that? I just wouldn't even be bothered. Like, I could talk about it. I don't need to go online and send it to the Times and say, oh, you know, it's crazy.
Because, like you said, they're cowards.
Well, just like Talkback 16 and all those things.
I was just going to say that.
They say the most bizarre. Who have? When I listen to it, I think, what? You people obviously have nothing better to do.
I don't know why they give the mayor time.
I don't know either. Because I think it's funny now. People just make
a
joke of it.
I mean,
and they don't know who they are.
You would not want to give up air time for that, Selena.
Never.
I know.
Never. No way, Jose. But everyone has an opinion, fine. But you don't have to get nuts about it. You don't have to talk about it like we do on the radio.
Yeah, there's
but
that.
But hey, if you want your own show, go at it. Have at it, baby.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so we are going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening this morning to The Laurie and Lynn Show.
It's Saturday morning with Laurie and Lynn. Now, back to Laurie and Lynn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Lynn Evans. I'm the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm designed specifically for the needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse that's available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And did we talk about, because this is apropos to Fidelity Bank coming up next, did we give Tim O'Brien a big shout out one time? Because he told me when I ran into him in the bank, he said, hey, I listen to you guys in the morning. And you know how we try. So big shout out to Tim O'Brien in light of the fact that two of his of the Fidelity Bank, in addition to him as an employee, two employees will be here next. So we'll say hi to him and also to Johnny Braz. Johnny and his girl run the Intra, is it Intra Loca? How do you say it?
Oh,
the animal sanctuary?
Intra Loca.
Say it right, Laurie. Anyway, so Johnny was, I saw him at the Radisson the week before because we were there for the Margaretta Beelin Award, mm-hmm. and he and his girl were there, and he came over and said, I listened to you on the radio.
Yay.
So hi, Johnny Braz as well.
Okay.
And we'll get the name right, because I told him he can come on one of these days and talk about that, because you love animals, too.
Yes, I do.
There you go.
But I believe it's Intra Loca.
Yeah, look it up, Lynn, would you?
Okay, I will.
So what else is happening?
Not much. I can't. It's Intra Loca.
How do you spell it?
IndraLoka.
Okay, Intra Loca.
Intra Loca, Animal Sanctuary.
There we go.
Okay, so guess what came in the mail the other day?
The AARP magazine or bulletin, either
bulletin.
One.
Bulletin.
Okay, I know, I got it too.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the cover to this, and of course it's intriguing because of, you know, my role here, but everything you think about saving for retirement may be wrong. Find out why. Well, I don't think it's really wrong. I don't think that was the point, but it certainly catches your attention. It's actually just a little different take on things. But the first rule, the new rule is, wealth is not a dollar amount. Now, a lot of what I'm going to say here is what we talk about all the time.
See?
Yeah. So the point he makes here, this is a guy named Alan Roth, who's a financial planner. I don't know enough about his background, but he wrote the cover story. So apparently he's been in the business quite a few years. And what he says is that he hopes that people translate this into something different, which is looking at wealth in terms of time rather than dollars can be a powerful tool for financial security.
In which way?
Well, he says it's the years of freedom that your pile of money represents rather than the pile of money. So, like he said as an example, the wealthy person may not be who you think. Someone who is worth $1 million and who lives a lifestyle costing $200,000 a year has only 5 years of freedom and security. On the other hand, a person worth $200,000 who lives on $10,000 a year plus Social Security has 20 years of financial independence.
Okay.
A different way of looking at it. Okay, but the thing is, my only concern about this is that most people, when they get to the time when they say they're going to retire, which generally is in their 60s, sometimes the 70s, whenever it is generally when you are earning the most amount of money you've ever earned in your life. Your career path has brought you to that point. So when you retire, there's no magic wand that just says, okay, you're living on $200,000 a year living expenses. All right, now you only have $1 million. You got to cut back and start living on 50. Well, maybe you can't do that.
Right.
Because
how do you do that?
No,
anyway.
So I'm just saying that that sounds really good, but in practical terms, I don't think that's actually possible. So what he suggests is you start looking at the ratio of your living expenses to the amount of money that you have saved. And so if you start looking at the ratio rather than the dollar amount, it will give you a better feeling about how you're going to do in retirement. I don't agree, but I'm just saying. Rule number two, a penny saved isn't a penny earned, it's more. So he talks about the idea of compounding interest, and we know that that's the case. But the other side of it is you're also putting money aside, but it's hopefully earning something, where a penny put into a savings account is doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So he gives some examples. Earning more money in order to maintain a $20,000 a year lifestyle is a lot harder to sustain. And say instead of cutting your spending by $10,000 a year, you find a way to make an extra $10,000 a year. Now you won't get all that money because some of it will go to taxes, but let's say you're willing to work 10 more years to sustain your current spending levels. Doing that might bring a total of $80,000 after taxes, increasing your net worth from the $200,000 to $280,000. Sticking to your $20,000 annual spending rate, you end up with about 14 years of wealth. So you're extending that time frame. Okay, this is not new. I don't understand why this is even a point, but that's what he said. Rule number three, he who hesitates cashes in. Now he's referring to Social Security, and the longer you wait before you take it, the more you get.
Which we've recently spoken about,
yeah.
had spoken about.
We know that, and we know that if you don't take it after when you're qualified, which would be for most people today between 66 and 67, if you defer that, you're getting 8% more a year.
Automatically,
plus cost of living raises.
All right, another question on that.
Yes.
When you get your information, say you're 62 and you get your Social Security information,
yeah,
and they tell you, this is what you make now, this is what you would get at 66. Is that based on the fact that you'd be earning the same dollar amount?
Correct.
Until, so it is not, so that's not the number if you don't work at that, at making that money again.
Right.
For the, so what is the real number then?
The real number is what they give you 3 months before you claim your retirement.
And what about if you wait?
What do you mean?
If you wait, say you don't have a job, but you work for, you don't have a job, but you wait from 62 to 66. It just goes up incrementally based on what you were earning at 62?
No. What they do is they average it out over the top, let's say, 5 years. And whatever you've earned up through that time frame, as long as you've been contributing to Social Security, which we would assume you would be, then that's the number they work with. And they say that's then what you are capable of collecting when you are 67 or whatever it is.
Okay.
So that from that point on then, that number is what goes up by 8% per year the longer you defer it.
All right. Thank
okay?
you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then number four. This makes a whole lot of not sense. All rules should be turned upside down. Okay. One of the best known approaches to managing money in retirement is known as the 4% rule, which we've heard about a gazillion times. And the idea behind that was there was a study done sometime in the 70s, that if you withdraw only 4% of the value of the assets you have, it will sustain you for the rest of your life. All kinds of numbers and crunching that went on there. And as we have talked about, that's not necessarily the way people need to look at it. Because you will probably spend more money in the earlier years of your retirement, and you'll need less in the latter years of your retirement. Discounting it for inflation, just saying the spending patterns will change as you age. So there's no number that really makes sense except to say that is a guideline. So if you take more than 4%, you're probably going to be looking at dipping into your principal at some point in time down the road, because if you figure that in the current environment, 3% is what you might get as interest or dividends, and you're drawing 4%, then you might be either in a very aggressive portfolio, which may not be such a good idea in retirement, or you're actually taking some of your gains. And then as you age, that number keeps going up and down. And so I think the only way to do this is to plug into any kind of retirement planning an assumption that you're going to take $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is, for 10 years and use that for your travel.
Okay.
And then you're done. And if you don't do it, great. It goes back and just keeps getting reinvested. So I think if that's the point he was trying to make, that the rules are not necessarily the rules, then that's good. And then he had one more. I think there were five. What was the last one? I don't see it. Must have missed one. Rule number four. I guess there isn't five. I don't know. All I know is Alan Ross has been a financial planner for more than 20 years. Doesn't say if he's a CFP, doesn't say what he is, but...
Well, you figure, do you trust everyone in AARP bulletin? Do you think they do their due diligence for the right people?
No, but let's just say the fact that if that's the cover story,
yeah,
that'll get people to pick up this magazine.
Yeah, okay.
So everything you think about saving for retirement may be wrong. Well, everybody's going to say, well, what am I doing that's wrong? Okay, so they're going to pick it up and read it. There's nothing really new and different in this article. Kind of boring, but okay, Alan, way to go.
So well, it doesn't say Susie Orman on it anywhere,
no,
does it?
No, thankfully it does not. We're not going to go there. Yeah, and then this was a question I wanted to come talk to you about because you just mentioned something about how they calculate Social Security. This is a flip side to that. My Social Security office says that wages earned after 70 are not included in the benefit calculation. And that's an issue because more and more people are working well past 70.
Yeah.
And enjoying it and loving it. So her answer is that's wrong. Social Security counts the average of your highest 35 years of earnings when figuring your benefits. Earnings up to age 60 are indexed to wage inflation. Later earnings are recorded at their actual amount.
Okay.
So that's what I was coming up with the 5 years, most
cool.
people. All right, so if your earnings in a year after age 70 are higher than those in the lowest earning years already on your record, the new year will knock out the old one. So you keep bumping it up.
Oh, good.
If your earnings in a year after 70 are lower than those in all of your earlier 35 years, Social Security will leave the new earnings out of its calculation so as not to bring your average down.
Okay.
So it's a win-win.
There we go.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Okay. Well, I'm going to cut out a tad early.
Okay.
As you know. And Lynn will be here for the next segment with our guest experts from Fidelity Bank, and we have two beauties in the room today who will be, Lynn will interview,
nice.
Introduce
two
to you
beauties.
In a few minutes. So I will see you next week, and stay tuned. You're listening to Laurie and Lynn Show, and we'll be right back.
It's Saturday morning with Laurie and Lynn. Now, back to Laurie and Lynn.
Hi, we're back. My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm designed specifically for the needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse that's available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And our guest experts, plural, this morning are two very lovely ladies from Fidelity Bank. One is Jill Valenti, who is an associate or assistant?
Assistant.
Assistant vice president and branch manager of the main office in Dunmore. And Kristen Groh, who is also an assistant vice president, and she's the customer care center manager. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here. It's nice to have you back. You've both been here a while ago, but it's just nice to see both of you here. So what's going on at Fidelity?
So we have big, exciting news to bring you. We are opening in another branch in Luzerne County, so we're expanding our footprint, so that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have one in Luzerne County, right?
We have a few, yes. We have Pittston
and
Kingston, Dallas, and now Mountaintop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so much for me thinking that was the only the only branch in Luzerne County.
No, we're doing really well. And
now how many is that? 12 branches you
have?
It
will be, yep.
Yeah, okay.
So our press release went out yesterday, so we just hit over $1 billion in asset size. So we're growing quite nicely, so we're very proud of that.
That is wonderful.
Yeah. So as part of our grand opening this weekend at the Mountaintop Branch, we are again kicking off an impact grant for the community, because not only do we want to do financial planning for our clients, we also, you know, at Fidelity love to give back to the community. Mm-hmm. So we have a $15,000 grant that local nonprofits can apply for if they think that they may be interested in it. The deadline for that would be December. Mm-hmm. And then Fidelity is going to narrow those down, and we're going to do some voting in branch again so that everybody can showcase the new branch, stop in and see the new location, and the most voted on within the community will win the grant. So that's very, very exciting.
And how much is that grant?
$15,000.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's only for nonprofits?
Local nonprofits.
Okay.
Yes.
So does it have to be in the Mountaintop area?
It should be within that community, within that footprint, but I would say as long as it's within Luzerne County, you know, but I just encourage everybody apply, apply for it. And then when they narrow it down, and they can do that either online, there's the application online to do that via our website, or you can drop off the application once you print that form offline at any Fidelity branch and we'll get it to the right spot.
Now, you said something about voting. So do people come into the branch and vote for these?
They will.
Okay.
You'll have the opportunity until February to stop into the Mountaintop office, and you'll get to see the beautiful new facility.
And there better be cookies there. That's
always
what I'm saying.
Coffee and cookies.
All right.
You know.
All right. My favorite thing.
And that's till February.
Uh-huh.
And the most votes will be announced, and then April will award the grant.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's all good news.
So if you're around this weekend too, please stop by. There's popcorn, bounce houses. You know, you will showcase the branch. There's prizes. So we have a lot going on. So this weekend at our Mountaintop location, a lot of fun activities to bring the kids to, costumes, our contests. Couldn't get that word out. So we're happy to.
All right. Well, there's one very important question I have to ask here. Will the ice cream truck be there?
The ice cream truck will be.
Yes.
All right.
So you're in. You're
between
in.
The ice cream truck and the cookies, I would be very happy to be there.
You're set.
Okay. I love that ice cream truck. I think it's such a cool idea. So besides that, I mean, what is the wonderfulness about the new branch? It's high technology, right?
Everything is economically friendly. We're very much trying to go green and go digital with a lot of our applications and things that we're doing within the branch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely, we're very excited to be branching out further into Luzerne County, because we're very well known in Lackawanna, but are trying to move into Luzerne. So I think it's going to be it's a good place. It's right in the main strip there on Mountaintop Boulevard.
Yeah.
So I just think it's going to be a really good, nice, I don't know what the right word is, concentric circle to our branch footprint that's there.
Yeah.
So that we're hitting the right areas so everybody has opportunity to get there.
What's the address, do you know?
It's 1 South Mountain Boulevard in Mountaintop.
I'm just wondering what it's near.
There's a Turkey Hill right near there. Geisinger Care Works.
Oh, yeah. I know where that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
that's a good spot.
It is a good spot.
Yeah, that is good. Okay, so if I come in there and I'm going to be a potential customer of the bank, what am I going to find when I walk in there that's spectacular and wonderful, that's going to lure me right in, other than the ice cream and the cookies?
Well, the ice cream and the cookie, of course, but the people. So at Fidelity, the bankers there truly, truly, truly have their customers or clients' interest at heart first. It's not a high-pressure type of environment. I can't tell you how many clients I've even helped who weren't clients initially in regards to any kind of financial advice that you want.
Okay.
Also, the Fidelity bankers live, pray, and work within the community, so they have the best interest at heart for the customers, even small businesses in the area, because we all live, work, and play and pray in the same community.
And who's the branch manager?
So Beth Langston is the new branch manager for that office up there.
That's great.
Yeah.
And how many people will be there, staff? How many?
I think it's four people, so including the branch manager.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
That's all good.
Good stuff.
So what time do the festivities start this weekend? Is it on Friday?
It's Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 2 both days.
Okay, good. So everybody listening, make sure you get out there. Okay, so what else can we talk about for Fidelity Bank?
Well, over the summer, we launched the Fidelity Bank Mortgage App. You can go on right through our app and apply for a home equity or a mortgage.
Okay.
It's very intuitive, it's user-friendly, and it's a hit.
Really, it is?
Yeah.
A lot of people are using it.
We do. We have a lot of activity through there. I mean, it's easy. You could do it, you know, at night while you're laying in bed before, you know, going to sleep. A caveman can do it, right? I mean, honestly, it's very intuitive.
Yeah, I was just telling everybody here before we went on air that I was at the Abington branch and noticed the signage was everywhere on the TVs and whatever about the new app. So I was working with somebody, I forget who was a teller, and I said, where do you get that thing? I said, that sounds pretty neat. Because I was in a place where I was thinking, I wonder if this would help me calculate, you know, what would it cost if I got a mortgage of X? What would that mean in dollars and cents every month? Just out of curiosity, I wanted to know what the numbers were. Mostly because I was too lazy to go do it myself. But I thought, well, maybe this mortgage app will let me make all those calculations. So someone helped me download it, and I was starting to play around with it, and I left. And I came back in and maybe a day or two later for something else. And the branch manager, who I know, said to me, Lynn, were you looking for a mortgage? And I said, no. And then I realized, okay, when you complete the whole thing, then it goes to someone to help you to get the mortgage. And I didn't even realize that. But I think it's a wonderful way because it competes a lot with this Rocket Mortgage thing.
Yes.
You know, where you just supposedly you fill in five pieces of information and bam, you're done. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm assuming this is like. Does it help the same way?
Yes, exactly. And I mean, that's our goal. Like, we want to provide an easy solution to our clients. We're the first bank in this area to even offer something like that.
That's cool.
Yes.
Okay.
We bank anytime, anywhere. So that's the whole motive, too.
Yeah.
We want our clients to be able to have access to us 24/7.
Yeah. Okay. So I know that there's been a significant amount of let's just say, opportunities to work with the bank digitally in the last couple of years. And I've been a big fan because I've been using just about everything there is to use on that type of an arrangement. So that made me ask a question because I noticed in the Abington branch, and I think I've been in some other branches where I've seen the same thing, there's a section of the branch that is kind of devoted to the technology piece. And what is it called? I mean, it's the bar or
it's
something?
It's called our tech bar. So typically we'll have a smartphone of some sort, an iPad or a laptop, so that we can empower the bankers to show customers that come in how to utilize those tools. We're very much trying to be an advice center for our client base and move through this. As technology comes, we're trying to keep up with that ease of use for the client. But to really then, once we teach the customers how to use these technology things, we just don't want to throw them out there and not have them be utilized.
Yeah.
Teach them about it, and then they can come to us when we really need to, budgeting, finance, you know, retirement planning. Not that we're not still there for them if they wanted to deposit their check or cash their check, but you know, for the busy world that we live in now, to be able to do a mobile deposit on the fly if you can't make it to the branch by 5 o'clock. So those tech bars are designed so that the bankers that are there can help you utilize that for anybody who might be a little tentative or hesitant or doesn't know about it. Like you had mentioned, you saw the signs and you're like, help me download this. So that's exactly what they're for.
Okay. Yeah, I think the thing for me was because I had two other Fidelity apps on my phone, one for the business transactions and one for my personal transactions. And I thought, I can't just go to the app store and say Fidelity Bank because there's so many of them. So that's the one I was looking for, and it just called mortgage, isn't it?
Fidelity Bank Mortgage,
yeah,
yes.
That was really a pretty neat thing. And I have to tell you that I was at the Keystone branch, Keystone Industrial Park branch, maybe about 2.5 weeks ago, I'm not sure, but in that time frame, and it was close to 5 o'clock. And I wanted to make some deposits and get them done, so I walked in there, and there were two people in there, and I looked over at the cookie thing, and I thought, oh no, there's none in there. Oh yes, there are. And I said to them, what kind of cookies are they? And they said, peanut butter. I said, what?
Oh, no. Was that all that was left?
That's what they did. They only do one kind. That's what she said to me. And I said, no, wait a minute. This is not good. So it's like, I don't know, was it Wednesday? Was it peanut butter day? I don't know. Thursday is a chocolate chip day. I guess I have
to
figure out what day.
I brought you a variety today.
I know you did, and I'm so happy with that. That's wonderful. That's really good. So tell everybody how they can get in touch with both of you if they really need some more help.
So if you did need any help that you wanted to speak to, you can reach me via my email, which would be my name, JILL.Valentini, V as in Victor, ALENTINI at FDDBank.com. Or you can always reach out to Kristen. She's our go-to for anything internet or call question related. So I'm going to pass to her.
So you can reach our customer care center at 800-388-4380. Or you can reach out to us via chat at bank@fidelity.com.
Okay. All good. Ladies, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. And I just wanted to say that everybody, I have to say the things that Laurie always says because I get yelled at if I don't. Everybody, just to be safe and be nice. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.